If you have a Bible, it would be good if you found the book of John in chapter 21. And you can put your finger in there and then turn to Mark chapter 9. Tonight I want to share on the concept that delay is not denial. That delay is not denial. Let's place a foundation on this to start with. Then Mark chapter 9, and some of you have heard me share out of this. I just want you to get a revelation about this, because when you get a revelation, the revelation becomes greater than any situation. So I'll just quickly go over this for those who perhaps weren't there the time last year when I ministered on this at New Life Church. Mark chapter 9, you have the story of a father who brings his son to Jesus. In the first instance, he brings his son to the disciples for healing. The disciples are unsuccessful. And so what happens is that Jesus and Peter, James and John have been with Jesus. They've been up on the mountain. The transfiguration of Jesus has happened. The glory of God shone, and it's where Pete puts his foot in his mouth and, you know, oh, let's build three things here because Elijah and Moses have come down, and there's just been this awesome moment, and they arrive back on the scene. And it says in verse 14 that when they came to the other disciples, when they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them, and as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Now, Jesus begins to say, well, what's going on? What are you arguing about? What's happening here? And a father begins to speak up and explain that he had brought his son to the disciples for healing, but they had been unsuccessful. And you have Jesus in verse 19 of Mark chapter 9 kind of in frustration says, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And so they bring the boy to Jesus, and if you read on, you'll find that immediately the spirit within this boy throws the boy into convulsions and all the rest of it. And Jesus asks the father, as this is all going on, he says, well, how long has he been like this? And the father begins to explain, well, he's been like this from childhood. In verse 22, he says, it often throws him into fire or water to kill him. And then the father just makes this plaintive cry, but if you can, do anything, take pity on us, help us. And Jesus' response is almost incredulous. In verse 23, he says, if you can, said Jesus. He says, now everything is possible to them who believe. We have that well-known statement then, where the father immediately comes back on Jesus and says, look, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Now I put it to you that this father was not contradicting himself. He had no problem believing for healing or for the miraculous to happen. He brought his son to the disciples, then to Jesus in the first place. So it wasn't that this man had an issue or a problem when it came to really believing in the miraculous or the supernatural to happen. His issue was more along the lines, I believe in healing. He says this. I think he believed in it intellectually, theoretically, even theologically. What the man did not have, though, was the revelation, and therefore was not happening experientially. He wasn't experiencing it because he didn't have the revelation. Intellectually, he had no problem with healing. He brought his son to the disciples in the first place. Theoretically, he clearly had no issue. I mean, in theory, he accepted it could happen. That's why he bought his boy. Theologically, I put it to you, I think the man had no issue. I mean, he knew there was a rabbi who had followers who was doing the miraculous. It's just he didn't have the revelation. So his heart cry in this and saying, Lord, I believe in healing. Help thou my unbelief. Help me as to, it was a heart cry of, Lord, I believe. Help me to know it as a revelation. Because if you get a revelation of something, the revelation becomes greater than the situation. And I want to have a look at this whole dynamic now of getting a revelation about something. And the revelation that I want you to grasp tonight is delay does not mean denial. So I want now you to grasp a dynamic in this, and I want you to come, if you will, to John chapter 1. You see, sometimes, and this is both in healing or in any issue, sometimes God does something immediately, miraculously, straight away. And when that happens, well, that's a miracle. And I often give this example in Luke 22, Jesus dealing with the ear that's just been chopped off by Peter, the high priest's servant, and Jesus just picks that old ear up and goes and shoves it back on the head. You know, that's instantaneous, that's a miracle, that's immediate. God does not always do that. Oh, that we think we wish he would. But actually, there's a reason I think more often than not, he does not do things immediately, straight away. And this is what I want to unpack a little bit for you tonight. Sometimes when it comes to healing, for example, healing is a process he releases. Again, many of you have heard me say over and over again that healing is a process. The ing on the word of healing means ongoing process. To read and reading, ongoing process. And so we see this example in Luke 17, Jesus dealing with some lepers. And again, if you looked at the story, you would see that Jesus deals with them and they are not healed immediately, instantaneously at that moment. The Bible says, as they went on their way, healing was released. We see this encapsulated, this whole dynamic, that healing is a process that he unlocks in the end of the book of Mark, chapter 16, where the command, the mandate given to every one of us as believers is that it says, go out, lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. To recover is not something that happens straight away. Another translation says, lay hands upon the sick and they shall get well. To get well does not denote something that's instantaneous. So we see here that sometimes God heals instantly. Sometimes healing is a process. We see in Mark chapter 8 where Jesus has to pray for a blind man twice. So we now have this dynamic where prayer once, prayer twice, finally there's breakthrough. Now, it's not just with healing, I think, that God moves like this. It can be almost in anything. You crying out to God for breakthrough in finance, crying out to God for breakthrough in a relationship situation, crying out for God to see a family member come to salvation. Sometimes God moves immediately. Sometimes it's a process he unlocks, and I'm going to try and explain to you that you might get a revelation that delay does not mean denial. But even as when it comes to healing, so it is often with almost every situation that we face. Sometimes God moves in our situation immediately. Sometimes it's a process that he unlocks. And sometimes you just have to pray again and again and again. And just like it is in healing, so it is, I think, in almost everything else. And I do believe that there is a reason for this. That if you think this matter through, if God released the answer immediately. Every time you ask, it happens. Bang, it happens. Oh God, I need. Bang, it happens. Lord, would you do this? Bang, it happens. Lord, I need healing. Bang, it happens. Where would be the faith in that of instantaneously, immediately, every time you so much as opened your mouth and asked for that thing, God moved, it happened. Where would be the faith in that? Yet the Bible tells us without faith we do not please him. We see over and over again in scripture where God moves, when Jesus moves particularly miraculously with healing, that you see that it's mentioned, it's extolled, it's praised, with the Canaanite woman, with the woman with the issue of blood, with Bartimaeus, over and over again. You just see numerous instances that he says, because of your faith. Oh, I've not seen faith in all of Israel like this, when he was commending the centurion. And time and time again. So we see that faith was a dynamic that released the miraculous. We know that there was a lack of faith in his own village, so he doesn't do a lot of miracles. We know that when he goes to pray for Jairus' daughter, he shoos out all the unbelieving ones that scoffed at the fact that this girl was not dead but sleeping. And what does he do? He goes in with just two of his disciples, guys who had great faith, guys who had been up on the mountain with him. And so it's an argument that you can see that faith is a dynamic that releases the miraculous. Faith pleases him. So where is the faith of instantaneously he answers? Now, in the natural, we do not give our children everything they ask for the minute they demand it or ask for it, do we? It would make them spoiled brats. Why would our Heavenly Father be any different? Why would we think that the minute we open our mouths to cry for something, to ask for something, to pray for something, that he would do it immediately? I mean, it doesn't even happen in the natural. Why would it be different in the spiritual? I put it to you that often the process of delay is not denial, but it's releasing God in our circumstances. I think that faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. I think as you begin to press in, as you keep your eyes upon him, as you begin to cry out and believe for something to happen, our faith begins to get stronger. And we just got to understand that sometimes the enemy's there robbing and stealing. He's called, he's described in Scripture as a liar, as a thief. I think he's been doing it since the beginning of the Garden of Eden. He's right there whispering in Eve's ear, psst, did God really say you shouldn't eat of this tree? Psst, are you sure? From the Garden of Eden, he's been there casting aspersions, casting doubt, just whispering. He's a liar and a thief. And I think that you get prayed for, I think God begins to release the answer. And as you begin to hold on to it and believe for it, and sometimes even when healing happens, and I've had people say this, they've been prayed for, they've sensed God moving, they've been in the river, they know something's happened. By the time they get home or the next day, sometimes a few days later, all the symptoms come back. And what do? Oh my, oh well, never mind. Praise the Lord anyway, and we just kind of walk in the situation, don't we? And you know what's happened? The devil has just robbed what God had begun to do. I think it was today, or could have been yesterday. I have so many discussions with people. But I have an absolute conviction of heart that God does not commence healing or begin to do something and then halfway through the process goes, nah, change my mind and takes it back. I don't think for a second that when you get touched and you get healed, and we hear testimonies of this, they got healed, there was no doubt, they left the building changed, then you God had done something, and 3 days later it's come back, and they go, oh, I've lost my healing. Well, that's a true statement. It's not that God's gone, nah, on second thoughts. So if that's the case, what has happened? Well, the devil has robbed. Ephesians 6 talks about the flaming darts of the evil one, the fiery arrows, another description Scripture gives. The fiery darts of the evil one. I think that you pray, God begins to do something, and the enemy's right there, and he's whispering in your ear, and he's casting those fiery darts. People will tell you, sometimes even symptoms get stirred up, become worse even. What do you think is happening there? I just think the devil's right there, throwing those fiery darts, stirring things up, whispering in your ear, psst, you've not been healed, psst, see it's worse, psst, see there's more pain, psst, see the symptoms have even got worse. And so what will we do? We walk in the symptom, we walk in the situation, we walk by sight. But God calls us to walk by faith, not by sight. And what we've got to learn to do is to use that shield of faith. The Bible says you resist the devil, he will flee. It's an absolute. There's no doubt about that. I just take a hold of things like that and say, I heard it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. He says, resist the devil, he will flee. Absolute. It says, the Bible says that you quench the fiery darts of the evil one, Ephesians 6, with the shield of faith. So when the enemy begins to stir things up, when he begins to throw those fiery darts, when he begins to whisper in your ear, when he begins to try and visit the symptoms back on you, you use that shield of faith. You begin to take a hold of the Word of God. You declare the Word of God, I will not accept this. I believe that God's begun to do something. Devil, I resist you in Jesus' name. You hold fast. You keep your eyes on God. You begin to believe that it's going to happen. You take a hold of the truth that God does not do healing, then change his mind and take it back, that he doesn't stop halfway through, that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that something's begun, you begin to do that, the devil gets defeated, God gets the glory, faith gets stronger, and healing is released. Can you see how it works? Now, if it's like that with healing, understand it's like that with everything. Not just healing, breakthrough in relationships, finances, situations that you need change, to see people saved or what have you. Sometimes God does it immediately. But I think that there's a rationale, that often it's a process that he releases, that delay is not denial, but it's just God beginning to move circumstances, bring things around, so that your faith begins to get stronger, the devil gets defeated, there's breakthrough in the situation, there's no doubt that God's done something. There is a reason, in other words, why sometimes it's a process that he releases. Let's have a look at a situation. I might make my case with you. For in John chapter 21, we read the story. Now, what's happened is Jesus has died. Jesus has been crucified. He has risen. He has appeared to a number of the disciples. He's had the situation where he's walked through the walls and appeared to Thomas and some of the others. We've just had the situation where Thomas goes, well, I don't know whether that's really real and it's you, so I need to see the holes in your side and in your hands. And we know that Jesus shows him and says to him, well, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now what happens is this, chapter 21. Book of John, verse 1, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, yeah, we'll go with you. And so they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, do you have any fish? No, they answered. So they've been at it all night. He says, throw your net onto the right side of the boat. You'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garments around him. For he had taken it off, he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. Now, it's an interesting story. It's the second time that Jesus has done this whole miraculous thing to do with the fish. In the first instance, which you read in Luke chapter 5, it's where Peter, where again, he's caught nothing. And Jesus says, well, throw the net out on the other side. And Peter argues with him. He says, what's the point? He finally does throw it out on the other side, and you know the story. Now it's happening again. Notice, of course, that they don't argue the case this time, do they? They just throw the net out. You see, delay is not denial. These guys knew that Jesus had risen again. They knew that there was more to come. They had yet been told to go and wait in the upper room for that moment of power. But Jesus had said to them that he was going, that another might come. They knew there was more to come. But something began, this delay just began to do something in their heart. So finally, what did they do? They went back to business as usual. What did they do? Well, nothing's happened. We know he's risen. Some others have seen him. He appeared through the wall the other night. Ah, let's go back fishing. So they do. But you see, sometimes there's a reason behind the delay. It is not that the prayer has been lost. It is not even that the prayer has been ignored. It just may be that God may be considering your request. Have you thought about that for just a moment? You see, the problem we've got is that we've got this instantaneous mentality. It's like we ask, and if it's a reasonable thing, then God should do it straight away. We have this, I mean, our whole society's kind of based on that. You ask, and action begins to happen. If you're in a position of authority, like Nick, he just gives the order, and they scurry around and do it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just endemic within their lifestyle and the way things are. Things happen the minute you ask or give an order, and you expect it to happen. But God doesn't always work like that. It just may well be that as you have brought this need, be it healing, be it breakthrough, be it change in circumstances, be it somebody being saved, it may be that God's just saying, all right, just let me think about this for a moment. In some cases, I think when it comes to salvation, I think God wants it even more than you do. But often there is a process that needs to come in place. delay may be just simply a test of your faith. But in God's timing, things will come to pass. Peter had been fishing all night. They'd gone back to business as usual to some degree. They'd caught nothing. All night they had caught nothing. But this seeming delay and this lack of success all had to do with God's timing. You see, if Peter had got his miracle, if the huge catch had happened that night, he would never have had the encounter with the miraculous in the morning. Sometimes delay is all about God just shifting things to a place where there can be no doubt that the miraculous has unfolded. Think about it now. If Peter, and I don't doubt for a second, they're out there laboring all night. Where are these fish? And I understand this. All night. Just think about it. If the answer had come, if the fish had been caught, he'd never have had this incredible moment. This miraculous incident would never have happened. If he'd got the answer that he wanted right from the start, he would have missed this moment. And sometimes that's with us. You see, delay does not mean denial. There can be an appointment in disappointment if God is involved. Delay is not denial. It's a pause in God's economy of timing so there can be no doubt as to the majesty of the moment when he moves in the miraculous. Let me say that again. Delay is not denial. It's a pause in God's economy of timing so there can be no doubt as to the majesty of the moment as he moves into the miraculous. Delay can happen so that God's hand can be seen in the situation. Come now to the Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15. You see, if you begin to get the revelation of this, you begin to understand the dynamics that begin to come into play. In fact, I could take you through the Bible time and time again where there appeared to be an apparent delay before God answered, yet what was happening is God was beginning to shift the pieces, beginning to orchestrate something so there can be no doubt that his hand was involved. Sometimes there's something happening in the miraculous, in the spiritual realm. With Daniel, there was a battle going on. It just took 3 weeks for the answer to come. The delay was not denial in that case. There was just a war going on in the heavenlies. And in fact, in the end, Gabriel had to get Michael to come to his aid. And finally, the angel gets through with the answer. You begin to get this back into your thinking. You begin to realize the delay is not denial. It's just God beginning to move things together. It begins to increase your faith. It begins to keep your eye on him. And sometimes, you know, if God had moved immediately or if you'd got your answer immediately, you would miss the majesty of the moment. Peter would have missed this incredible moment if he got fish earlier on. Here in the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15, we have a similar situation happening, but there's another dynamic I want to bring into play now in your thinking that you begin to understand what God is unfolding in your circumstances when the answer has not come immediately. For in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, Jesus has done the walking on water at Gennesaret. We now have in verse 21 that leaving that place, Gennesaret, we had done the walking on water. Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Now, Jesus did not answer a word. And so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away. She just keeps crying out after us." And he answered, "Well, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. You can sense the urgency, the desperation, the perseverance of this woman. Here she is as having the disciples themselves trying to shoo her away. They're all in Jesus' ear. "Get rid of her, Lord. She's a pain. She's a nuisance. She keeps crying out." Now Jesus makes an interesting statement. He just says, He says it's not right to take the children's bread and just toss it to the dogs. Now, he was not calling this woman a dog. There was something else unfolding here. You've got to understand that this woman, she was a Canaanite, he was a Jew. Jesus had made it clear that he had a purpose, a mission, that he had come for the lost sheep of Israel. He had come for the Jews. She was a Canaanite. She was actually part of an ancient Phoenician tribe that were Phoenicians and Syrians. The Canaanites were part of an ancient group of Phoenicians and Syrians, so she definitely wasn't Jewish. And it was just a case of, I have come for the Jews. I have come for the lost sheep of Israel. She perseveres. She keeps pushing in. And now Jesus just turns around and says, well, anyway, it's not like I just toss things out here, there, and everywhere. It's not that I'm going to toss out the bread to the dogs, to everybody like this. It's, I've got a purpose. I've come. But this woman had a revelation. And her revelation became greater than her situation. Her revelation was quite simple. She grasped the dynamic that only a crumb, only a seed, only a tiny bit of faith, that's all that's needed. How do I know that? Because her response was, but Lord, just a crumb off the master's table will be enough. And Jesus immediately realized she had a revelation. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? How much faith is needed to cause a mountain to jump into the sea? He said, faith the size of a mustard seed. You see, this woman had a revelation. Her revelation was just a crumb is needed. And we know this because Jesus' answer was, you've got faith. Because of your faith, you've got your answer. Now, a whole lot's unfolding here in this situation. First of all, the woman had a revelation. The revelation became greater than the situation. The revelation was actually only a crumb of seed, just a seed of faith is needed. But something else was happening here as well. And I like this dynamic. And I began to look at this, I began to realize, you see, the first answer from God is not necessarily his last word on the situation. Isn't that neat? Think about that. You see, his first answer was, no, I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. Anyway, it's not like I'm going to toss things left, right, and center. But because of her revelation that just a crumb, just a tiny bit of faith was needed, she got her answer. But not only that, you know, just encourages me. His first answer is not necessarily his last word on the situation. Delay is not necessarily denial. Sometimes God is just waiting for things to come into place to such a thing where there can be no doubt that it's his hand that's in the situation. Sometimes the delay is just simply so you can be at a place, at a time, that you might see the majesty of the miraculous of the moment. See, that was Peter's case. If he got his fish earlier on, he'd never have had this moment. It just happened on the seashore. In this case, with this woman, just that whole pressing through, that whole perseverance, that whole dynamic, that faith, just a tiny seed is needed. And here's the next neat thing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, under everyone's been given a measure of faith. That very dynamic that you need to see the miraculous release, that very dynamic that pleases him, faith, actually everyone's been given a measure of. It's the only gift, the Bible says, everyone has been given. Not everyone's been given the gift of being an evangelist or a prophet. Not everybody's been given the gift of discernment of spirits. You look at all the gifts that are listed in Corinthians there. But in this case, it says everyone's been given a measure. That little dynamic you've already got. Actually, you don't need an awful lot. Just a crumb will do. You get the revelation of that. You get the revelation that delay does not mean denial, that God just may be shifting things into place so there can be no doubt that his hand's involved in it. Sometimes it's just a simple case that he needs you to push on through. But the neat thing is his first answer is not necessarily his last word on the situation. So we've got to persevere. And sometimes we've got to put our faith into action. You see, if Peter had not had the faith this time when he calls out and he says, well, put your net out the other side. He had to put faith in action. He had to throw the net out. He got his miracle. Sometimes the delay is all about God is waiting for you to put faith in action, to begin to do something. And as you begin to do, as you begin to put faith in action, as you begin to walk in expectation, as you begin to take a hold of these things, God begins to move. And the miraculous is released in the moment. I guess one of the things that Jenny and I have learned is we've just had a revelation that God's heartbeat is to break through in our circumstances actually even more than we want Him to. That all it takes is for us to learn to open the parameters a little bit, to begin to walk in expectation, to begin to walk in faith. It's all about the substance of things hoped for. Evidence you've not yet seen, but we just walk in that expectation of it. We've just learned to open up the parameters to kind of look to see how God's going to do it. We've just learned to understand that sometimes delay doesn't mean no at all. He's just moving things together. He's just beginning to change a few things. He's just beginning to stir up a few things. Sometimes He's just waiting till you get past this, I want it now, and hurry up. He wants us to get us to that place where we begin to cry out. It begins to become a hunger within us. He's just bringing it to a place that eventually, there can be no doubt, God has begun to do something. When you begin to get the revelation of this, you begin to see the miraculous unfold in the moment. When we were in Australia, and some of you have heard this story, but many will not have, and we were missionaries working amongst the Aborigines, and we'd gone up there, and we were living by faith, and we'd given away our entire lifestyle. Everything that we had built up over 10 years of marriage, we just gave away. And we went up there to do a work, and well, we went up basically with our clothes and a few books. And I remember the day that our boys came to us, and they had given away their bicycles, all their toys, everything they had given away to the next year that was coming into the Bible college. We lived on campus, and so we just left it for the next lot of families that were coming in on campus. And the boys came to us, and they said, you know, we have no bikes. We've got nothing, actually. And do you think we could ask Jesus for bikes? Well, we'd been living by faith, and it's a whole other story, but we'd seen miraculous provision by God. So that night when we tucked them into bed this Wednesday night and they were saying their prayers as little boys will do, oh, God bless Nana and Papa, and they just, Lord Jesus, we really would like bicycles. We gave our bicycles away in New Zealand, in case you didn't know, and we'd kind of, can we please have some bikes? It was not an unreasonable request. The next morning, daybreak, these kids were up, went outside, came in, woke us up like 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, somebody's stolen our bikes, somebody's stolen our bikes, they're not there, you know. And it's like, no, son, it's not like, but they're not there. I said, well, all I know is that God has heard your heart cry. The next morning was exactly the same thing. Daybreak, crack of dawn, these two little kids would get up, run around outside, look around the house and that, come back inside, shake us awake. Where's our bikes? Our bikes aren't there. Where are they? And all we could say to them is, we don't know. We just know that God has heard your answer. It was 8 days before the answer came. 8 days later, we got a letter from New Zealand. It was from a cell group. And what had happened is in our home church back in New Zealand, they were meeting. At the end of the meeting at 9 o'clock, they were just praying, and they were praying for the missionaries that the church was supporting out in the field there. And one of them in the group just felt impressed of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, we need to take up a bit of a collection for the Marshes, who are up in the far north of Queensland. Somebody else in the group apparently said, that's a good idea, but I think we need to designate it for the kids. A third person said, you know, we need to probably stipulate that they need to use this money to buy toys for their bikes. A fourth person said, actually, I reckon they need to buy bikes. And so we got this letter, and about the first 3 pages was this long-winded kind of apology that they would never normally give a gift without, with strings attached, and that normally they wouldn't do that, but they just really felt that as they were taking up this offering last Wednesday night at the end of the cell group, they just felt to say that this is for you guys, but it's particularly for your kids that we think that you need to buy bikes for the kids. And it was exactly enough money to buy the two boys 2 bikes. Here is the thing. You see, New Zealand is 2 hours ahead of Australia in time. And at 9 o'clock in New Zealand, when this cell group was having this experience, it was 7 o'clock in New Zealand, and we were tucking 2 little kiddies, 5 and 7 or 4 and 7, whatever they were, into bed. See, the delay was not denial. It just took that long for the bank draft to arrive in the post in New Zealand. And we were able to say to our 2 little boys, see, God heard your answer. The delay was just simply, it took that amount of time for God to put the thing in action, for things to come their full, well, come the full circle, and for the check to arrive. Next time as you cry out to God, there needs to be a change in here. You see, too often, what begins to settle, and I think the devil's right there, he's going, psst, the answer's no, psst, you're not really going to get it, psst, you don't really think that's going to happen, do you? Psst, you're not really healed, psst, you haven't seen any change in the circumstances. And what happens is, that settles in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, we go, oh, well, never mind, and I've prayed, and that's it, and we move on, and we can miss the moment. But sometimes God's just pulling things together. They labored all night fishing. All night. You think what would have happened if, say, in that dead hour, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, you know, when your eyeballs are feeling like there's a bucket of sand in them and you think, ah, what's the point? It's 3 o'clock. Let's go home and get a bit of shut eye. Just imagine they'd have missed their moment. Sometimes delay is just all about God bringing us to a place where there can be no doubt that he's begun to move. And on that morning, at daybreak, they see this stranger on the shore. And he calls out and he says, guys, have you caught anything? Been out all night. No. Throw the net out on the other side. I think something resonated in them. Hey, we've been here before. This is like deja vu. So what do? They throw the net out, and it's so full that they struggle to get it in. God's glory gets revealed, and the delay begins to make sense. It was a divine moment. Delay is not denial. It's just bringing things in so the divine becomes obvious. Let's pray. See, there was a church and a bunch of people that for 30 years have had a heart cry that God would do something in their midst and in their city and amongst other churches. And the delay was just all about waiting until the circumstances came together that we might meet, that something would begin to happen. And here we are in our 20-something night. We begin to understand the whole delay was just all about God just bringing it to a time and a place such as this that he might demonstrate his divinity. Lord, forgive us when at times we've become impatient. Just stand in his presence, will you? Father, forgive us when we've just, well, got on with it. Gone back to business as usual. Forgive us, Lord, when we actually accepted that the delay meant a denial and it wasn't going to happen. Oh, Lord, help us to get the revelation of this. And sometimes it's just stuff that needs to be brought together. Sometimes there's a battle going on in the spirit realm. Sometimes it's all about us learning to put faith into action. Oh Lord, let the revelation of this so grip our hearts that never again will we doubt. That from this day forth we'll walk with a whole fresh expectation. Delay doesn't mean denial. Even the first answer doesn't necessarily have to be the last word on the situation. Oh, Lord. Lord, we begin to walk in a whole level, a new level, a fresh level of expectation, of faith, of excitement, of anticipation. Oh, Lord, tonight, let us come into the river of your presence with an excitement, an expectation, and celebration, oh Lord, that we would never be the same. Oh Lord, that in the heavenly realms, you're just moving the pieces for that moment when the miraculous is revealed and there can be no doubt. You've moved, you've answered, you've changed, you've healed. Lord, let it grip our hearts. Poor Lord. Release your majesty. Release your majesty into this moment. Whoa, we'd never be the same. Come, Holy Spirit. Release the river of your presence this night. Release the river of your presence this night. Oh, I ask this in Jesus' name. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow. Let it flow. Tonight, I want to exercise something that you read in the book of Timothy, and it talks about a stirring up of the gifts by the laying on of hands. And if every one of you have been given a gift of faith, tonight, Jenny and I want to stir that gift of faith up by the laying on of hands. We want to stir up that gift. That something will just be unlocked and released in you that'll cause such an excitement, such an anticipation, such an expectation that you begin to walk with a whole different line of sight, a whole different sense of seeing, perceiving, expecting, walking. Oh, tonight as you come into the river of His presence, come expecting that God's going to stir something up within you. See, it changes the way you pray. It changes the way you walk. It changes how you relate to others. Because you now have a whole different thinking, a whole different understanding. Just because the answer hasn't come straight away doesn't mean it's no. God's doing something. It begins to heighten the expectation. I want to see that stirred up in you tonight. You see, it'll release the miraculous into your moment. It does. Sometimes He's just been waiting for you to move into that place of faith and expectation. There is a reason why He doesn't answer immediately. You begin to get the revelation of this. It changes everything. Let me tell you else, something else that happens. When it begins to happen, the devil can't rob you of it. You know why? Because there's just no doubt, there's just no doubt, there's just no doubt that God's just done something. And it defeats him. It disempowers the devil. It disempowers him. It robs him of that, just that legitimacy of saying, psst, see, it's not happening. Or he begins to cast that doubt. When the delay begins to, when you begin to get the revelation of the dynamic of delay, when it does happen, it is so definite, there can be no denying. And the devil's just been disempowered. And you keep what God's begun to do, or what God has done, and you begin to walk in a whole different realm. Oh, begin to get the revelation of this tonight. Come. Come into His presence expecting something to be stirred up within. Come into His presence tonight with just His whole heart cry, God, let me grasp a hold of the truth of this. The devil will never rob you again. He'll never be able to cast doubt again. Because it's either going to be a case, well, devil, you can say what you like and suggest what you like, but it's a coming. It's coming. One way or another, it's coming. God's going to do something. And when it comes, there's going to be no doubt about it. When He tries to cast doubt on you, you can go, devil, you're wasting your time. I know that I know that I know that I know. This was God. There can be no other explanation. Come. Come, let something be stirred tonight. Come. Step into a river of faith. Step into a whole new realm of something. The revelation will take hold. Ooh, Lord.
Just wanted to share something that I felt God showed me just at the end of what Craig was saying. And what I saw was a squirrel. And thing about a squirrel is that they spend time skittering around, gathering nuts and things to eat, and then they hide them in the ground, and then they go to sleep. Then they go to sleep. And then there's a time when they wake up from their sleep, and they go around looking for the things that they buried in the ground. I feel that this is one of the things that God's been showing us over the past weeks, is that the church has fallen asleep. You know, many of us, including me, we've fallen asleep. There was a time when we were skittering around hungrily for the food, for the promises, for the things of God. And God gave us things at that time. But then we fell asleep. We fell asleep. And there's been a period of time where we've just been asleep. And tonight God is saying, wake up. He's saying, wake up. Start to look afresh for those things that I gave you years ago. It may have been promises. I don't know what it is, but I feel that there are things that God has given you in the past, and He never took them away, as Craig was saying. He never took them away. He never meant for them to go. And now is the time for us to wake up. Tonight He's saying, wake up and start to look for the things that I gave you years ago.
We're going to begin to worship. We're just going to sing and worship. And Jean and I are going to move amongst you. We're going to lay hands upon you. And we're going to be just praying. There'll be a stirring up of that gift of faith, of expectation. Get ready. Get ready for God to unlock something tonight. You begin to understand something.